communion tonight, and this scripture in Genesis is a powerful scripture with which to build our hearts and our faith, and more importantly, our vision to receive from the table of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, our comforter, our guide, the one who leads us into paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And we honor you, Father, and we thank you, and we glorify you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to take up with verse 14. Scripture says in Genesis 50 and verse 14, Joseph returned to Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. When Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall you say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, and the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee forgiveness, forgive the trespass of your servants, of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down upon his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it to be good, to bring to pass all it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machri and the son of Manasseh were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Joseph died, and they embalmed him, and was put in a coffin in Egypt. Exodus 13, please. Verse 17. Exodus 13, verse 17. It came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Verse 19, And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. So that's Exodus 13, 19, speaking of the bones of Joseph. And I want us to go to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. And let's go to verse 22. Joshua said unto the people, You are witness against yourselves that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore put away, he said, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. And Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it under an oak, which was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke unto us. And it shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. This was the stone of witness. So Joshua let the people depart, every man to his inheritance. It came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah. If you have a better pronunciation, we'll talk about it later, which is in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gesheth. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, in which had known all the works of the Lord that had been done for Israel. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, the parcel of ground which Jacob had bought for the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. So we have there in this scripture, in Genesis 50, where Joseph gave a commandment concerning his bones. We have in Exodus where Moses took the bones of Joseph into the promised land. And in Joshua, we have the fulfillment of the bones of Joseph being buried. Isn't that interesting? So God made a kind of a big deal about Joseph's bones. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll see the importance of this listed in the Hall of Faith. Baseball has a Hall of Fame. Football has a Hall of Fame. Hockey has a Hall of Fame. I guess tennis does. I don't know about golf. I'm sure they have the best of the best. But God has a Hall of Faith. Amen. Faith is important to God, because without it you can't please Him. And it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you listen to the Word of God and you look at the fact that faith is evidence, the better word is substance. Faith is the substance, the evidence. One translation says faith is the raw material of things hoped for. There's no question that we all hope for things, don't we? Without hope, you're sunk. If you are hopeless, then you don't have any motivation whatsoever to do anything. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. God gives us hope with His mercy and His compassion and His grace. Then God speaks a word. When God says, God so loved the world, that disarms us, doesn't it, to a large extent? Wouldn't you agree? It sort of disarms us and says, okay, I'm dealing with somebody who loves me, all right, okay. It could be like if you were in trouble with the IRS and the IRS called you up and said, hey, I'm your friend. Of course, they can say that, but I'm on your side and I'm going to help you. And you're sitting there saying, well, you're going to have to prove that first. But if the person was genuine, you'd feel disarmed. It's like, okay, I don't have to fight you. I'll just listen to what you have to say. Sometimes if you deal with an enemy and an enemy says, hey, you know, I'm not coming here to argue. I'm coming here to solve a problem. That helps, doesn't it? Well, God says to the world, I love you. And so whatever harm you've been given, whatever problems you've had, whatever turmoil, whatever confusion, whatever hopelessness you've been in, God says, I love you. I love the world. And I gave my only begotten Son that whoever believes in me should not, what? Perish, but have everlasting life. That's a message of hope that also brings faith, doesn't it? He said, you will not perish. Hey, not perishing is a good message, especially if you're perishing. So God brings that message. And so in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by what? Faith. By faith, the elders obtained what? 1, 2, 3.
Good report.
This is so essential to the Christian walk. A good report is so essential to the Christian walk. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Anybody that led the people of God somewhere along the line obtained a good report. The good report was not what God said about them after their life was finished. In other words, God said, I like you. You did a good job. That's a good report. They obtained a good report while they were in tough situations. And God goes on to list those things. He says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So God says, if you're going to talk about things you see, you're going to have to talk about things you don't see. If you don't talk about things you don't see in your conversation about things you see, then you're not going to understand the things you see. Did you write that down? In order to understand the things you see, you have to understand things you don't see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If the elders obtained a good report through things which they did not see, then that tells us that we are going to obtain a good report by things which we do not see. So if you're looking at things seen to generate your report, you're not going to have a good report. If you look at things that are seen to generate your report, you're going to have a seen report. And there's no faith in a seen report. God calls good report of faith a report of things that are not seen. Well, how could you see something that's not seen? It's very simple. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained the witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaks. What did Abel do that Cain didn't do? Abel obeyed God, Cain didn't. Obedience is obeying something you can't see. Amen. For instance, you don't have any money. Your dad tells you, don't steal. I remember we had a big gorilla sat on my dad's dresser. It probably wasn't that big, but to me it was a huge thing. And in it, he would put money. And this was going to be a trip that we were going to take. I think it was more representative of the trip, something for us to look at and say, okay, when the gorilla is full, we get to go on a trip. Certainly, the gorilla couldn't hold that much money. But the point is, that was a focus or an object lesson of hope for us to go somewhere. Well, somebody had stolen money out of the gorilla. Thou shalt not steal, especially from my dad. And we have 8 kids in our family. There are probably 2 real babies at this time. So 6 of us stand in a row. I mean, just like you'd see Joseph and his family. The 6 of us in a row, we're in the living room, and they stand us up there and they say, hey, who stole the money? And my dad's standing there like the general. And this was around 1963, 64. So we were real young. And the only thing I could equate it with was the bridge over the River Kwai when those guys are standing out there in the hot sun. And they're, you know, we're standing in the presence of the anger of my dad. And it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And we're standing up there and he goes, we're not going anywhere until somebody tells me who stole the money out of the gorilla. Because it was on his dresser and that's our money. So he's pacing up and down and we're all standing there. And finally I just said, I stole it. And I figured because we might as well get out of this. This isn't going to go anywhere. And you see, when it comes, I didn't steal it, by the way. When it comes to trusting, I could either trust that my needs are going to get met, or I go to the gorilla and take what belongs to my dad and really belongs to the family. And I could say, I can't trust. I can't wait. I'm going to go to the gorilla and take the money out of the gorilla. Come on now. Why? Because trusting in something I don't see is more difficult than trusting in the gorilla I do see. The gorilla is there. The money is there. I can go buy whatever I want if I can just get inside the gorilla. Because mom and dad are gone. So when God says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, I have to trust that, number one, the law of God, don't steal, is for my protection. Isn't that true? God says there's a better way than stealing. If you break that law, you're breaking so many other laws. But the biggest law I'm breaking is I'm not trusting God. I'm not choosing to trust something. But here was part of the problem, you know, you have to be taught to trust. You have to be taught what God says, that He will supply your need. You have to be taught that if you pray, God will hear and He will answer prayer. Otherwise, you're going to short circuit every situation in your life. Amen. And make wrong choice after wrong choice after wrong choice. Life is not about being a goody two-shoes. It's about a matter of making right choices. It's a matter of hearing what God says. You don't have to sit there and, you know, try to please everybody. All you got to do is be obedient to God and say, Lord, what is your way? Your way is to trust. Without trust, you don't have a marriage. But with trust, you have a wonderful marriage. When you have trust, you have something beautiful. Every person on earth wants somebody to trust them. Well, where are you going to get that? You're going to get that in an atmosphere of trust. When you give your heart to Jesus and let Him come into your life, you are building a relationship of trust. Is that true or not? I trust what you did for me on the cross. I trust what you did for me in raising from the dead. I believe Jesus rose from the dead. That's why I'm here. If I didn't believe Jesus raised from the dead, let's all go fishing. And we can go fishing anyway, but I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with fishing. but you know what I'm saying? Why waste your time preaching if it's not real? But when you get in that atmosphere of trust, suddenly I'm trusting God. And guess what else? God's going to give me things to do whereby He trusts me. That is amazing. That God can give you assignments and say, Eddie, I trust you with my word. I trust you with people's lives. I trust you to go on assignments and go minister to people. Amen. I remember sitting in a crowd of people and the minister picked me out and said, God told me, you're called to preach. This happened to me several times. Okay, what is happening? God's affirming in my heart His trust. That's supernatural, isn't it? He's affirming that trust. Now, you got to get this now. If faith is the substance of things hoped for, when you trust God and God puts faith in you, He puts His faith in you. Romans 12:3, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith, God gave you His faith when you got saved. He gave you a starter. You know the French bread they have, starter. I don't know if it was called a starter lump or what, you know. Okay, they give you starter, right? When you do this fellowship bread, you got a starter. You put it in a little baggie and you zip it up, right? For 10 days. Well, I guarantee you, I knew somebody that worked for Bordenave. Bordenave makes French bread. You know what they have after every time they bake? They have a starter. And they've been doing this for 100 years. So the starter you have, somehow or another, is from that 100 years ago. Isn't that amazing? Well, when you got saved, God put some starter in you. Oh, if that doesn't make you shout, come on. We're so laissez faire. Come on, people. Amen. I said, God put some starter in you. And it's the same starter that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same starter when God said, light be. God put something from Himself inside of you. He put some starter in you. And Thessalonians says, your faith grows exceedingly. This starter, I mean, it's not meant to sit there like a little lump, even though a little lump's enough. It's meant to grow and grow and grow. And guess what? You're supposed to cut off some starter from you and give it to somebody else. Amen. Actually, God does it, but you know, He does it through our lives. Because God's the one who personally gives you your starter. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Every time you hear the Word of God, it grows. Now, let's keep reading. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that had pleased God. Verse 6, without faith, it is impossible. Somebody help me. I just needed a sip of water. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Why did God throw this there in the middle of this testimony of people's faith? Because He's trying to teach us things. He's using these examples to teach us how important it is to Him and how essential it is for us to live in victory by the life of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder to them that diligently seek Him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Here we have an example of something that's not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Something hasn't happened yet. And Mr. Noah says, God told me to build a boat. There's a flood coming. Nobody sees a flood. Everybody thinks he's crazy. And he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing. He went out not knowing. He did know, but he didn't know. What did Abraham know? He knew what God said. God said, go. That's all he needed to know. He said, go to the place, I'll show you. He didn't even know where it was. He just knew he was supposed to go. So he knew and he didn't know. What he did not know is what keeps most people in their chair and never doing anything, because they don't know what God's up to. Abraham knew it's going to be okay to trust God. So he knew, but he didn't know. But he went out not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, and the heirs of the same promise. He looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So he's looking for something that God built, not something that man built. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered a child. And she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Isn't that beautiful? Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. So God said, even from a couple of people who cannot conceive children, I'm going to give innumerable numbers of children. And then verse 13, we're getting closer now. These all died in faith. These all died in faith. These all died in faith. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Seen what? What did they see? Come on, one, two, three.
Promises.
Yeah. The evidence of things not seen. God said it's the evidence of things not seen, but he said they saw something. That's interesting, isn't it? What did they see? They saw something you can't see. Try telling somebody one of the promises of God that doesn't believe God, and you'll find out that that's invisible to the naked human eye. Faith can see. Oh, yeah. Faith has vision. In fact, once you get faith, it's because the light gets turned on and you see. That'll bless you if you let it. But once the revelation of God hits your heart, you see something. I see it. You ever been reading your Bible and you got something? You go, man, I see it. I see it. I see it. What are we doing? The entrance of his word gives light. Revelation has come. You're seeing something that you could not see before. Faith has arisen. Glory to God. They saw them and were persuaded of them and embraced them. So you see, what they did was they took the substance, the evidence, the raw material. They saw it. They embraced it. Amen. They got something. They've got substance. One of these times we're going to have to get that song going. I got substance for those things which I believe. I got substance. Sherry wrote that song eons ago. It's a beautiful song, and it's just the word. So, having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them. Man, the persuading power of God's word is immeasurable. What God's word can do to persuade you to be a different person, to mold you into a believer, to mold you up into a person with a good confession, with a good report, to mold you into a person of faith, because not because you're trying to be a person of faith, but because you're just walking with God. Amen. You're just walking with God. I guarantee you, you walk with 15 people and stay with them all day, and all they do is cuss and swear and spit and chew and guess what? Guess what's going to come out of your mouth? Eventually, that garbage will come out of your mouth, unless you have determined in your heart through a covenant with God that it's not going to come out of your mouth. But even then, it's going to be difficult because it rubs off. Well, you hang around God all day, guess what? It'll rub off. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. It kept them, that word, those promises, those things from heaven, kept them separated from just being another person on this earth. That'll preach by itself, all right there. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. And he hath prepared a place. Isn't that beautiful right there? God is not ashamed to be called their God. Now that is amazing. That's God saying, guess what? My best friend is Becky Evans. Check that out. You know that Ron Gunderson fellow down there on earth. I love to hang out with him. God's not ashamed to be called your God. That's fellowship. Okay. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Oh, let's get the communion elements. Let's pass them out. We're not going to be much longer here. We're getting ready to. Strap on your seatbelt. Or if you don't want to, just jump up and shout and run around the room. I don't care. Just get ready right now because you don't want to miss this. This is good. This is heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, everybody say it out loud. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory, 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 glory. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. God says, I'm going to do this in Isaac. And yet God tells Abraham to kill Isaac. How does that make any sense? Well, see, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You got to stay with it. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. God gave Abram a dream and saw Isaac being raised from the dead. When he was offering up his son, he did it by faith that God was able to raise him up. Abraham knew in his heart, I didn't say it was easy, but he knew in his heart that this was not going to be the end. Me and my son will be back. Me and the lad shall return. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. Now here's where we're going to wind up here. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. We've said this before. Joseph, if you are to list all the things, the great things Joseph did by faith, he's the most exciting person to study. There are so many types. There's over 30 types of Jesus in Joseph's life. Amen. Over 30 types. He was sold as a slave, sold for silver. He was denied by his brethren. His whole house hated him, etc., etc., etc. There's so many things that are the same. But out of all the things, Joseph could have been an adulterer or a fornicator. He didn't do it. Joseph could have stole. He didn't. Joseph could have lied. He didn't. Joseph was one of the most moral men in the Bible. And yet God says the great thing he did in the hall of faith is he gave commandment concerning his bones. Now watch this. If you could do something to speak to generation after generation after generation after generation and cause faith to come, wouldn't that be great? That'd be better than stopping the mouth of a lion. That's a great feat, stopping the mouth of a lion, isn't it? It's a great feat raising somebody from the dead. A child's dead and you raise that child from the dead. I would think that if you did that, God would put that here and say, yeah, by faith, he raised somebody from the dead. God, come on, put that in there. Tell everybody what I did. But Joseph was a leader. Joseph gave something for his brethren. Not only that group of people, but 400 years later, we're not staying in Egypt. We're not going to be slaves. You take my bones back to the promised land. We're going to the promised land. And I want you to know something. When God raised his son from the dead, he left us something that is going to be immortalized forever. This will never be done again. There's one sacrifice for human hearts. What Joseph did lasted so long and gave so much hope, so much inspiration, so much faith, so much vision to capture the heart of a person that would allow themselves to be captivated. Every test, every trial that came upon those people, they had those bones in their presence. Said, that's Joseph. He said, we're leaving this place. When this Red Sea split, guess what went with them? That coffin with Joseph's bones went with them. Moses took those bones along with all those people. When they're in the wilderness, traveling around for 40 years, guess what was with them? Those bones were with them. Those bones are old, man. Over 500 years old. Well, they embalmed those King Tut and all those people. So every time that patriarch, every time somebody mentioned that patriarch, his bones are there. Then we're going. We're leaving. That was a substance that they could hold on to. But God's word was the real substance. And what does God say to us? God left the emblems of this communion table. Jesus' body was broken. Not once for one generation, but once for all generations. If you doubt or have a lack of faith, God says, get these elements out. This bread is broken for us. This blood was spilled for us. Jesus is the forerunner of all faith. And he said, this is how you walk the walk of faith. This is how you receive from God what I did for you. Let me be your sacrifice. Let me be your forerunner. Let me be the object of your faith. And you will see the power of God in your life to transform you from a doubter to a believer, from a person who struggles with sin to a person who enjoys victory, from a person who didn't care what to pray about or even how, who says, God, I want to pray. I just want to love you. I just want to talk with you. Father, we come to the throne of grace together. Lord, we're so thankful that Joseph gave commandment concerning his bones. To his generation, God, that was monumental. It was something that they could fix their eyes upon, gaze upon, and look at to say that God is faithful. Lord, in our generation, we have these emblems of the love of God. Not just the promise. We can embrace the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not something we're looking forward to. It's something we look back on. And we thank you, Lord, that you were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and with your stripes, we are healed. I want you to receive this for healing in your body. If there's any sickness at all in your family, in your body, take it by faith and let's believe God to absolutely do a miracle right now. Take it by faith in the name of Jesus. We believe you, Lord. We believe you, Jesus. Glory to God. Father, we lift the cup. And we're so thankful that there's now, therefore now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. We're so thankful, Lord, that you've lifted us out of sin and placed us in Jesus, placed us in righteousness, which is by faith. Lift the cup, say it out loud. I'm a new creation. The old is past. The new has come. Receive it by faith.
Praise God, we don't have to hide scars. Just strengthen our wounds and they soften our hearts. They remind us of where we have been, not who we are. Praise God, we don't have to hide scars. They just strengthen our wounds and they soften our hearts. They remind us where we have been, not who we into death so that we could find peace. Rose stars and hands and his feet.